Number 8. So how many have thawed out since Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week? Wow, what a blast, but praise God for natural gas and wood and however you heat your home. Praise the Lord for that, amen. And glad that we can join together in God's house. Good to see some folks who have been not able to join us this year, but are here today. And I'm glad you're here today, everyone. And those that are listening online as well, you're a blessing to us as well. Luke chapter 8, once you find it, if you'd stand with me, we're just going to read one verse. That's all we're looking at today, so you know it's going to be a short message. Amen? Luke chapter 8, we're going to read verse number 39 of Luke chapter number 8. Verse number 39, please. And let's go ahead and share that together right now. Let's begin. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 5, and Matthew, the gospel also records this story. Where we left off actually last week, you might recall, Jesus had calmed the storm. He was the one, he stood in the boat, said, "Peace, be still." And the very next verse in the Gospel of Mark says, they went to the country of the Gadarenes. Now the story there, though we're not going to look at the whole story, we've looked at that many times, and you're certainly welcome to look through it. But it's basically the story of two men, according to the Gospel of Matthew, two men who lived in tombs. Both were possessed by many devils and unclean spirits, as the Bible calls them. Matthew's gospel says they were exceeding fierce men. Jesus led the disciples across the Sea of Galilee to this one area to reach those men. One of the men represents here in Luke and Mark, one of them is mentioned and represents the two of them. Jesus graciously commanded the spirits out of the men. How many are glad to know Jesus has that kind of power to release us and deliver us from evil spirits? Now, we still have to make some choices, which at least one of them we know did. And Matthew's account actually stops right there. Once the demons were cast out, he mentions nothing else. Mark and Luke mention this end of the conversation. This is where the other Gospels share at least one of the men, now in his right mind, according to the Bible, desired to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives the new disciple orders to return home. Notice what it says. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Home. Home. Remember, he had no home at the time, but he did have a home. His home was in the tombs, and yet that was not where home was for him. Home was sweet. Home was a place that could bring and help him serve the Lord. And we see a few things about that here in the scriptures. And I'd like to share with you things that make the Christian home sweet. After a young couple brought their sweet new baby home, we have a young family, a young couple in our family. They're expecting any time, could have a baby today. Amen. Hey, pray for it, man. That would be awesome to have a child born on the Lord's Day. But a new couple had a baby come home. The wife suggested that her husband try his hand at changing diapers. Dads, how many remember the very first diaper? Yeah. Women don't remember that anymore. They've done so many. She suggested that he would change a diaper. "I've got something to do right now," he said. "I'll do the next one." A few hours passed, and she asked again. The husband said with a half smile, "Oh, I didn't mean the next diaper. I meant the next baby." To which he received a stern look, a clean diaper, and a package of baby wipes. Home, sweet home. What makes the Christian home sweet? I'd like to explore this, both in this verse and obviously throughout the rest of Scripture. Three things that make the Christian home sweet. That's the title this morning, if you're taking notes. Three things that make the Christian home sweet. And there's many others besides these three, but here in this man's home is what he went back to, but also what the plan was to do from here on out. So I'd like to look at that here. As the Bible says, he returned to his house and showed how great things God had done unto him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our homes, Lord. Thank you for the way you provide. Thank you that we all have a place to live and call home. Now, Lord, I pray, help us to get the vision that Jesus commanded this man to have, that the home be part of our Christian life, not only part of it, but in service for the Lord Jesus Christ, and in ways that we see here in Scripture, but whatever you lead us to do. God, I pray you'd help us to examine again our personal lives, and yet, Lord, that you would have the glory. We just as the song, the young people sang, we would surrender all to you even today. Perhaps there's one listening who needs to surrender their life to receive Christ as Savior. Father, I pray this would be the day of salvation in your house today. What a joy that would be. But as a Christian, if I simply choose something of you over the world or the flesh or anything else, Lord, to surrender to you, that's a great day too. Now I pray, God, help us to see what you'd have us to do, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things that make the Christian home sweet. The Bible says here in verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Number one, home is sweet when our family is led to faith in Jesus Christ. Home is sweet when our family is led to faith in Jesus Christ. Something interesting throughout the whole Bible, we see those that love the Lord, those who had a testimony of for God, they reached their family. Let's start in Genesis chapter 6. We see the Old Testament saints. They knew the sweetness of God the Father. Genesis chapter 6, would you go there with me, please? We see an example of that. Yeah, way back at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6. Even the Old Testament saints knew the sweetness of God the Father. Genesis chapter 6, and you might recall Genesis 6, 7, 8, that covers the story of the great flood that God brought and put upon the land, upon the earth, to judge sin, specifically man's sin. But notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 7, verse number 8. This is when God revealed his plan to Noah and about him. It says in verse number 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What did Noah do with that information? What did he take that knowledge to do? Well, he reached out to his family and shared, listen, our only hope for life is God. Our only hope for life is God. Notice what God says he's going to do to everything that's living. It will be destroyed and nothing will escape unless they go to God. And certainly Noah did. His wife, his sons' wives, the Bible records, they all entered into the ark and followed God's plan for safety and salvation. Old Testament saints knew the sweetness of God the Father. Another Testament, Old Testament saint, Joshua 24. Would you go there? Joshua chapter 24. And if we're looking in Joshua, we know who we're talking about, don't we? We're talking about Joshua, one of my favorite guys in the Bible. He was he's a hero in Scripture. Didn't do everything right, but that means he was human too. And yet he loved the Lord, and what a great godly man he was. Take a look in Joshua 24. These are verses, at least one of them, you might have on your wall. If you don't, I encourage you to. And that's verse 15, but I want to start in verse 14, Joshua chapter 24. And let's read these verses together, and because there's hard words, and I want to not mess them up by myself. I want you to help me here. So verse 14, verse 15, let's read those together. Joshua 24, let's begin. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua saw that his family's worship and service was going to be to God alone. His family's worship and service was to be dedicated to God alone. As for me and my house, he left no doubt, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. His home was sweet, because his family was led to faith in the Lord. That's the Old Testament. What about some New Testament saints? Take a look here with me. New Testament saints knew the sweetness of faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10. Would you go there with me? We'll look in the book of Acts for a couple of these people. Acts chapter 10 is the first one we want to notice, starting in verse number 24. Verse 24. Up to this point in the book of Acts, the disciples and the apostles, they were reaching out, they were starting churches, but they were only reaching out specifically to Jewish people. They were reaching to the Jews and saying, hey, our Savior has come, the Messiah has been here, his name is Jesus, he can save your soul, and specifically they were reaching out to them. The Bible indicates they were not reaching out to Gentiles, those that were not of Jewish heritage, until this man, his name is Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 talks about him. But we want to look just specifically at a couple things about a man. He was a Roman. He was a centurion. He was an important man. And yet he honored the Lord. He honored God, the Bible says, and did not know him personally. God said, I'm going to send somebody to you. His name is Peter. Wow. If you want anybody to come and tell you who Jesus is like, wouldn't Peter be a good guest, good guy to have come? Knew him every day. And he knew the ins and outs of what Jesus could do in a person's life. And he came and he preached and he shared the word of God. Take a look at verse number 24. Here's where Cornelius was given the answer to his prayer. It says in verse 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen, notice this, and near friends. Cornelius cared about his family. Then he cared about his cousins, near kinsmen, aunts and uncles. Not just his kids and wife, but those that were, you know, the shirt tail people as well. Well, he's married into our family. She's married. We want her to hear this thing. And then he says what? His friends. Oh, wow. He wanted to make sure they were there. Look at verse number 33. Peter shares the gospel, talks to him about Jesus Christ, and reveals he's the one you need to believe in. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, this is Cornelius speaking to Peter, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God. Now listen to this. Let's say it together. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius, his family was first to hear the gospel to the Gentiles. What an amazing passage of scripture. It's a tremendous story, and we've looked at it before. But just to mention this, the New Testament saints, they knew the sweetness of faith in Jesus Christ. Think about a Roman centurion, a Roman family. They would have believed in many gods. They had a pantheistic view of gods and false gods at that, but they would pray to the god of, you know, wealth and the god of health and the god of this and the god of that, and I can't find my glasses, so let's pray to that god, see if he finds out what's going on. They had all different kinds of gods to cover different situations in life. And the problem when you talk to or pray to false gods, what happens? There's no one there to hear. If it's a false god, that means they don't exist. And all their cries went unheard. But God in his grace revealed himself to Cornelius and said, I want you to know me personally through Jesus Christ. And as soon as he understood that, he called everybody he could to hear about it. Acts chapter 16, a few pages back. Let's go ahead, turn the page a few pages. Acts chapter 16. What an incredible chapter in the book of Acts. So much happens. We've talked about this recently, I think, as a matter of fact, but the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were imprisoned. They were imprisoned. They simply were doing the work of the Lord, and they were imprisoned for it by the magistrates and the leaders of the town in Philippi. The Bible tells us while he was there, there was an earthquake. They were singing and praising the Lord all night. God miraculously brought this earthquake. No one was killed. All the doors were opened, and there was the jailer on his knees asking, you know, this event had shown him exactly he needs God. He needs the Lord Jesus. He'd been hearing about Paul, what Paul and Silas were sharing all night. Take a look at verse number 31. Here's what the jailer did. Verse number 31. Let me start with verse number 29. Then he called for a light, that is the jailer. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, your family can be saved the same way." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God. What's the next phrase? With all his house. The jailer knew his family, and his family responded in faith after hearing of Jesus. What an amazing day. Amen. What an exciting day. You know, the New Testament saints knew the sweetness of faith in Christ. Home should be a place where our family is led to faith in Jesus Christ. Number one thing in our family should not be, let's be the first ones on the block to be millionaires. Let's be the first ones on the block to, break this glass ceiling and that particular thing and whatever, although achievements are a blessing, but they are a blessing from God. If we don't recognize that, they become a curse to us. They become a burden instead of a blessing. But one thing that will always be a blessing is pointing people to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was, is, and ever shall be. He had no beginning. He has no end. Amen. He came to this world. He was hated from the very day he drew breath as a little baby. He lived the sinless life. He went to the cross. He bore the sin of mankind on his shoulders, which means your sin and mine. And he covered the cost and price of our sin with his shed blood on the tree. God accepted that payment so that you and I can call and ask God to save us through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us 3 days after he was killed, he rose again on his own power, proving that the payment had been accepted. Amen. And we need him to have eternal life and forgiveness of sin. Do you believe in Jesus today? Maybe you grew up in a home where that wasn't the case. We may have talked about religious things, or, you know, maybe church was interesting a couple times a year, whatever the case, but to have real personal faith in Jesus Christ was not mentioned. But do you know, if you read scripture, you see it practically on every page in the New Testament. Practically everywhere does God want you and I to trust Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation, for forgiveness of our sin, for a life that can be pleasing to God and worth something for eternity, not just here, temporarily. Home is sweet when our family is led to faith in Jesus. Number two, let's go back to our verse, Luke chapter 8. Jesus said, "Return to thine house," verse 39, "and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And man, when he went home, his family knew something was different. Wouldn't you say? He was fierce before. He was living like a crazy man out in the tombs, out in the cemetery. But now he's in his right mind. He's dressed. He's clean. He's just a different guy. And then he begins to tell him it's Jesus. But secondly, notice what Jesus says here in verse 39. "And show how great things God hath done unto thee. Number two, home is sweet as we glory in the things of God. Home is sweet as we glory in the things of God. Not things that would oppose the Lord, not things that our flesh would enjoy, but the things of God. Turn with me, if you would, James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. Take a look there. Here we see something interesting. The Bible tells us, encourages us, and shares with us that glorying in God shares more blessings than blastings. More blessings than blastings. I'm looking in verse number 9 in James chapter 3. A few verses we'll look at here in chapter 3, but start in verse 9. Here's what it says. It talks about the tongue. Actually, let me start with verse number 8. Verse number 8, that's where it starts really. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Notice what he says, my brethren. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the unsaved people? No, he's talking to us, to believers. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Take a look at verse number 13, going a couple verses down. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Let me look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The Bible tells us glorying in God shares more blessings than blastings. Our tongue. How many of us would like to rip that tongue out every now and then because of the things that are just on the tip of it and sometimes come out? Well, God does not want you to cut it out. It's not the tongue, he says, that needs to have radical surgery. It's the heart. It's the heart. Where's my focus? Where's my thought life? What am I focusing on? He says, look, here's the conversation we need to consider. The peaceable, the pure, the gentle. Verse 17, easy to be entreated, merciful, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. These are things God says that bring blessings rather than blastings to God. We are to glory in God. That means sharing more blessings than blastings. The Bible also tells us, secondly, that glorying in God strives to live saintly instead of sourly. Saintly instead of sourly. If you're born again today, hey, praise God, you have something to rejoice over, amen? All of us do. None of us should be looking around as if we've been sucking lemons all day, because God in his grace has saved us from an eternal hell. You say, wait a minute, you don't know the burden I'm bearing. Well, the Bible tells me, even in the midst of great burdens, I can still rejoice, because Philippians chapter 4 tells me to rejoice how often? Always. And again, I say, he says, rejoice. Here's some thoughts, some questions to consider as we glory in God. It strives to live saintly instead of sourly. This means, am I gracious at church or outside of home, but grouchy at home? Do I appear holy at church or outside of home, but hateful at home? Do I praise God for his supply, or do I pout over what I lack? Am I glorying in God? Am I striving to live saintly, or am I willing and settling for living sourly? Hebrews chapter 13 gives us a great thought on this. Would you go to Hebrews 13, please? Right before the book of James is the book of Hebrews. Here the Bible tells us, Jesus is telling this man, go and show the things that God hath done for thee. Wow. And man, that takes a lifetime to cover. Take a look in Hebrews 13. I'm going to ask if you'd read these with me. Verse 5, verse 6. Let's read together. Verse 5, verse 6. Talking about glorying in God and striving to live saintly. That is the Christian life, instead of sourly. Verse 5, verse 6, let's begin. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Wow. You know, friends, the soul without Christ, think about this man who had been in the control of all those evil spirits. I mean, the Bible indicates there were perhaps thousands of them, because his name that he gave when Jesus asked him was Legion. Legion, oh man, stuffed in these guys and controlling everything. Now God took them out. Jesus removed them. Now he wants to get right with the Lord and live for Christ. He's got a treasure, although it doesn't say anything about his bank account. It says nothing about his 401k. It says nothing about what he's got stored up in the shed or anything like that. What he had was the greatest treasure in the universe now. Think of this. The soul without Christ is lifeless and homeless in an eternal sense. But the one with Christ has the greatest treasure in the universe, and that's Jesus himself. Sometimes we grasp for things and we forget, first of all, we've already got the greatest treasure. If you know Christ as Savior, you've got the greatest treasure. If you don't, boy, he wants to be that for you today. He does not want to wait another day. He wants to be a part of that in your life today. But if you know him, there's nothing on this earth that is more valuable than Christ. The Bible says, as we share with others, as we reveal in our life and our homes, that we live out what Jesus is doing for us and through us. Jesus told this man, show how great things God hath done unto thee. It's all because of him. It's not because of us. A third thought. Let's go again to the verse, chapter 8, verse 39. Let's see the last part of it. The Bible tells us that home is sweet when our family is led to faith in Jesus. Our home is sweet as we glory in the things of God and continue to do so. Verse number 39, again, the Bible says, and he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Home is sweet, number 3, when our home is an outpost for outreach. Home is sweet when our home is an outpost for outreach. Now, whether he went door to door, that's what it seems. That's what he seemingly did. He went to other people's homes, but it could certainly include his own home, being a lighthouse in the neighborhood and sharing with others. Hey, that's where that guy who used to live out in the cemetery, but man, has he changed. Something interesting has happened to him. You ought to go hear him. He talks about this guy, Jesus, all the time. He can't keep quiet about him. And whatever he did, the Bible says, it was something that reached the whole city. This Gadarene started with his family and friends, but this Gadarene took his burden to everyone in town. Would you go to Luke chapter 10 with me, just a couple pages over? What do we have to have in order to do what that man did? Well, we got to have time, right? We've got to have all the literature. We've got to have a plan. We've got to, all those things are helpful and in some cases necessary. But the one thing we have to have that Jesus had, and by the way, Jesus had never had any Bible tracts on him. Jesus never planned out, okay, guys, now I'm certainly in his mind, I understand. He probably had a schedule that the disciples followed, but as the Holy Spirit led, that's what he did. And it could be something totally different than everybody thought was going to happen. But one thing he did have that you and I need to have if we want to reach the whole city or holes around us is right here. Luke chapter 10, take a look, verse number 33. Luke chapter 10. Verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan, this is the parable of the what we call the good Samaritan, the man who saw the man who was beat up on the side of the road and he was near death. And the Bible says that a Levite came by and others came by. And here was a man, a Samaritan, who was not a Jew, and yet this Jewish man who would have hated him or considered him less than important needed his help. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, where this beat up man was on the side of the road. And when he saw him, read the last phrase with me, please, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. This is what our missionary has been trying to tell us. You're asking for a burden. What you're asking for is compassion. What you're asking for is to look at people the way you want God to reach you. You're asking for God to give you compassion on the souls of men, on your neighbors, on those people in town that you'd rather not spend time with, or areas or places that you know need Christ. This Gadarene took his burden to everyone because he had compassion on them. We read this many times about Jesus too, how he had compassion on the multitudes, etc. And God did a great work when he did. Something interesting that I see as we study the Gospels, we do not find Jesus ever returning to the Gadarenes. This event is the only time mentioned. The disciple of the Gadarenes may very well have been the lone witness for some time, but he was a disciple who was burdened for those around him. His home was sweet. It was in shambles before, but when Jesus came and he gave himself over to Christ, man, it became a sweet place. It was where you could hear about Christ as a family member. It was where the things of God that were going on in his life, he wouldn't be quiet about. And it was where others who needed Christ as their Savior knew there's a place that somebody's reaching me in town in this area. The question for us this morning is, do we have a sweet home? Is our home sweet like a Christian's home God calls and can help to be? Maybe you've seen in the news these hostages that have been released, and man, praise God for that. Wow. Really, praise God for that. All of them could have been killed, but by the grace of God, some still survived. And yesterday, three more were released. I don't know if you saw that in the news. But even in the early days after the attack on Israel in October of 2023, some were actually released a month or so later. Something I read about that one particular incident is this. Among the hostages released in the first group on November 24th, 2024, was Doran Katz Asher, a 34-year-old Israeli-German citizen, and her two daughters, Raz and Aviv, both 4 and 2 years old, who were taken from their grandmother's home in a kibbutz, not at some music festival or some wild place. They were at home. Their grandmother, Efrat Katz, was murdered by Hamas. And in a tearful reunion on the day they were released, the family was reunited with their father, Yanni. Raz told her father, "I dreamed we were going," what's the next word? "Home." To which he replied, "Now the dream came true. We're home." That's it. Do you have a home that exemplifies, that reflects, and that lives for Jesus? By the way, when it doesn't, you can change that. Amen. You can change that. But you must make the decision. We're going to do it God's way today. We're going to do it Christ's way today. We're going to be a lighthouse for him today. Because your home can be sweet, regardless of what else is going on. Your home can be sweet for Jesus Christ. But you must decide, will I follow the Lord on it or not? Heavenly Father, I pray, help us to see the wonderful testimony of this man and what Jesus tells us about him. Now, God, I pray, help us to learn and apply what we hear. God, if there's an area as a father, as a mother, as a spouse, perhaps as a child, Lord, we need to change the way we're operating, Lord, at home so that we can better have a Christian home that's sweet for Christ. Lord, I ask that you'd show us all where we are and where you can put us if we are willing to make that decision today. Perhaps, Lord, there are some who simply need Christ as Savior. What a great day to call on the Lord. And I pray this would be the day for that individual, Lord. May you get the glory through all things in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. Let me ask a couple questions and then I'll be done. Pastor, I'm here this morning. I know Christ is my Savior without a doubt. I've received the Lord as my Savior, and in testimony to that, I raise my hand and thank God for His salvation. Is anyone like that here this morning? I know Christ is my Savior. Praise God. Here's my hand. Thank you. You may put it down. Christian friend, let me ask you, because this really is, this was for this morning for those that have put faith in Christ. Have we followed Him in such a way that it can be said of our home, it's sweet? It's a Christian home, but it's sweet. It's following what God says to do. It's exemplifying Christ. It's doing those things when no one else is there to see it. We see it. If there's an area that needs to change, would you ask God to help you? You in the home and with others to draw it more to Christ. Perhaps you're here this morning, Christian friend, and God has a burden on your heart. And it just simply means He wants you to do something about it. It's time to put it in the schedule. It's time to put it on the calendar. Let's get it done. Let's follow through. Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to me this morning. Would you remember me when you close in prayer? Now, I'm not going to do that by name, but I certainly would like to pray alongside you as I pray too, that God would help us have a sweet Christian home. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that this morning, please remember me. I need God's help. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. I need God's help. Our home needs God's help. We've seen a lot of great things, but we know better things can happen if we give it to the Lord. Anybody else like that? Pray for me. Amen. Yeah. Pastor, pray for me. I couldn't raise my hand a few moments ago when you asked about salvation. I have a question about that. I'm not sure about that. But I need to be sure. Would you remember me? When you close today, would you remember me that I will not leave this building without having that question settled, that I'll know Christ? Perhaps that simply means to talk about what God says in His Word, but you can call on Him right here, right now, too. Pastor, pray for me. I need the Lord as Savior. Would you remember me when you close today? Yes. Yes, I will. One more question, then I'll pray. Something that you have no idea about, Pastor, but I need God in it. Would you please pray for me? The situation is in need of His heavy hand. Please remember me when you pray. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Yes. Yes, I will. I see that. Yes, absolutely, I will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reaching out to us from your word. Now, Lord, I pray for those of us that said we need a Christian home that is sweet, Lord, that has a sweet savor, just like Scripture tells us, for Jesus Christ. That area may mean simply to be a better testimony to one another of the Lord, to live as a Christian in home with the way we speak and the way we behave with one another or others. Lord, or to make our home, make a big step and make our home a lighthouse. Father, we need your help to do these things. And I pray for those of us that said, please, please, Lord, we're bringing this before you. We're asking for help. Others had great burdens, Lord, you know about. And so I pray, Father, you would meet those needs in a way that would bring glory to you and help to the individual. Father, I pray that you would meet that. Help us to watch and to pray and trust in what your hand can do. And Father, for those who said, I think I need to get saved. I think I need a faith that is going to last forever in Jesus Christ. And I need God's help for that. I pray today would be the day of salvation for them, Lord. May you get the glory through all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Doug's going to lead us in that song. It's number
489.
Would you turn there? We'll stand to sing. Maybe God's led you to respond in a physical way as well as calling on Him today. If we can be a help to you, I'm going to stand at the front. I'd like to talk to you if we can. If you need the Lord as Savior, we've got to get through God's Word and talk about that so that you can have a home in heaven forever. We're going to sing that song. It's number 489. Would you stand with me as we sing? Verse 1, if none come.